Blog Talk Radio.
And I know who
tomorrow. See, yesterday.
Thank you for watching. Don't forget to subscribe.
Oh, where did we find that at? Okay. I don't know about tomorrow. Today is Wednesday. I don't know about Thursday. Tuesday's already gone. I'm in Wednesday. And I know on Wednesday, today, May the 25th, 2022, I know who hold my hand. I know who got me. You understand? I know who keep me safe from all hurt, harm, or danger. I know him that when things come my way, I have no control over. I know to stand on his word. Hey, glory, hallelujah. And after standing on his word, I know to just stand. Hey, I don't know nothing else but to just stand on his word, because his word is sure. It's a sure foundation. It's the truth. It won't break up. It won't sink. It won't cause you to fall, but it'll cause you to stand firm. If you can but remember, trials come to make us strong. We're going to go through some things. If you look at the book of 1 Samuel, you will see that David went through trial after trial. He wasn't being punished, but he was being tested. Because the next king God put in place, he was going to have to be strong and powerful. He was going to have to be a king that stayed with God if Israel was going to stay safe. And many times we missed it. If I want Jesus in the morning, if I want Freedom Doors Ministries to stay safe, to stay strong, to stand, I got to stand on the word of God, and I must go through trials. I have test after test. The enemy is always coming because his job is to destroy it. His job is to get rid of it. His job is to send people to tell me what other people said bad about the work that he chose me to do. Yeah, his job is to make me feel bad. But I come to serve notice. Greater is he that lives within me than he that is in the world. See, what happened is I had a one-on-one personal experience with Almighty God that have all the power. Jehovah God. The same God that said, let there be light, light appear. The same God that so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son. Listen, once I had that one-on-one experience, and exactly what I asked him for is exactly what he gave me. I said, Lord, if you are real, because I don't know. I'm hoping you're real. I want to believe you're real. I heard that you was real, but I don't know. But if you are real, Father, I want to be as real in you as you are real. Here it comes. Look. When you're selling dope, when you're smoking weed, when you're drinking wine, when you're drinking Crown Royal, you don't have no prayer life like that. You don't have no Bible study life. You're not walking by faith in God. You're walking by faith in your ability, what you think you can do. So all of a sudden, here it comes. I find myself praying. And the prayer that I prayed, it was shocking to me. I said, Lord, let me die so you can live. Now, flesh and blood couldn't reveal that to me. I didn't know that at the time. The next thing I know, I continue to pray. Well, when I open the Bible and I read in Genesis, I'm understanding what I'm reading. He gave me another Bible similar to the basic English Bible. And I was able to understand, but I understood King James more than anything. Oh, it was amazing. It wasn't me. I can't take the credit. My prayer closet was on the side of my bed. And the way my bed was, when I got up off my knees and I looked to the right, there was a mirror, a chest of drawers, no, a dresser with the mirror. And I could see myself. So a few days later, I get up off my knees, and when I look, and I look at myself in the mirror, I didn't know who I was. I said, Lord, where is Barbara? He said, you asked me to let her die Barbara dead. I got excited. That old Barbara, you see. That old dope selling horn Barbara, you know. Lay with me and she not married with for fun. Yeah, seek me in for money. Yeah, that kind of Barbara. I lie in a New York second, and that's real quick. I beat you out your money right fast like that Barbara was gone. I even felt different. The way I was thinking, it was weird. Because in the world, and especially a street life, you ain't giving up nothing to nobody unless they giving something to you. Unless it's something you want to do. But he came in and changed my whole life, my whole life. He came in and changed it. And he changed it for the better. And each day gets better and better. Because you know, you won't base it off what the world is based in their lives and what they have off. You're not basing it off riches of the world, but you're basing your life off riches of heaven. You can see Jesus. You can see his hand at work. Praising just comes automatic. When you're talking to somebody in a little bit, he's going to come up in this conversation. You will have to say something good about him. You will have to talk about his wonders work in some kind of way because of what he did in you. He's in you, and you can't leave him out. Hey, glory. Oh, I wish I could just say, hey, glory. Oh, thank you. Hey, thank you. Thank you today, God. I wish I could just really explain it to you. Hey, words won't do. Words just won't, and they won't come right for what he's done in me, for what he has done for me. The songwriter said it the best. You don't know like I know what God has done for me. You can't tell it. I got to tell it. And many days I give you fractions of it, and I keep testifying about it, but it's much more that he has done in me and for me. Made me brand new, y'all don't understand? He made me over again. I was born again, and not from my mother's womb, but of the water and the spirit of God. Hallelujah. I went down in the liquid grave and I rose walking in the newness of life. It was a brand new life for me. I'm not better than anybody else. I'm not better than anybody else. I'm not perfect. But greater is he that lives within me. It's him that's perfect. It's him that's greater, not me. Oof. I didn't know where he was going to go this morning, but what I tell you, he's blessing me right now. He is blessing me right now, and I thank him for it. Hallelujah. Oh, I love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, thank you. Thank you. Oh, I thank you today. Anything needed, he can supply it. Anything need to be removed from your life, he can remove it. Anything needs to be added to your life, he can add it. Yes. You're not sitting around comparing yourself to the world. Many people do that and lose their minds. Some people do that and just destroy themselves. But listen, it's like this. Mary is chasing after dreams. She's making all these things happen. By working, overworking, doing things she really don't want to do. But for me, that's not the case. I work unto him. I'm doing what he says. Many days it's not always easy, but guess what? It's doable. You can do it. The choice is yours. Every round go higher and higher, so he give you more and more in the spirit realm. And then when you look around, things that you desire, he has already brought those things about. But you don't treasure the fleshly things as much as you treasure the spiritual things. I don't treasure the house and the car and retirement money and whatever else as much as I do being a blessing to somebody else. I don't treasure any of that as much as I would to have the farm. Remember the farm? I know y'all thought I forgot all about the farm. No, no, no. I don't treasure it as much as I treasure when somebody call me and tell me what God has done in their lives. Barbara, I heard what you said, and he did this and he did that. I treasure that much more today than higher shaka, higher heart than anything else. Because the Spirit of God is real. The Spirit of God can move in ways like you never saw before. He can put it on the ground if you need it. He can give you keys to a house you never paid a dime for. He can give you a car you never went to look at and you never had a penny to put on it. But he can deliver the keys to you and it's paid in full. I'm telling you what he can do today. We chase after things. But I want to chase after him who loves me. And I don't have to chase him. I can call upon him. I can seek him with my whole heart. And he shows up in mysterious ways. But I know it's him. Because only he can come in this way. And when you fellowship and commune with him, he said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger, they will not follow. If you fellowship and commune with him on a regular basis, you're going to know his voice. You're going to know when he said, Barbara, don't go left, go right. Sometimes you're haggling with him, I call it. Sometimes you in California on your way to Georgia, and he telling you to ride, and you say, but I really don't want to go up by Arkansas. I don't want to look at Arkansas. He said, go right through Arkansas through this way. It's not very long. It is not going to be a very long distance. But I need you to go through Arkansas. And when you get there, you need gas. So you just stop in to get you some gas and get a refreshing drink, stretch your legs a little bit, and you're back on the road. But when you get to Arkansas, there's a man and a woman there, a couple. And he going to allow you to start up a conversation with them. And in the conversation, you explaining some things to them and giving them testimonies. And the testimonies that you're sharing is what they're going through. You done forgot the time. You done forgot that you didn't want to go through Arkansas. You done forgot all of that because you're working unto him. And he's pouring it out of you. It's not you bringing it out. He's pouring it out of you. And when you get through, these people tell you, thank you so much. We both needed to hear that because we both going through exactly what you said you went through and what he done for you. We know he'll do it for us. God bless you. Enjoy your trip. Be safe. I say the same to you. And I get ready to walk off. They get ready to walk off. And the man turned around and he said, ma'am, we know we can't pay God. But can you take this? And when I look down, it's five $100 bills. And the Lord said, take it. I said, sir, not only can I take it, but I can spend it. Huh? Y'all know me. And I leave with my hands up in the air telling God, thank you. Because that next stop, I didn't know where gas was going to come from. Oh, y'all don't hear me tonight. I mean, this morning, y'all don't hear me. He's that kind of God, but you got to have faith. You got to have patience. And you got to trust him with your whole heart and lean not to your own understanding. And all your ways, you must acknowledge him. He's going to direct your path. You can't be wise in your own eyes. You got to fear God and depart from evil. Sometimes God is trying to take things away from us. It's not good for us, but we love it so we're willing to suffer to keep it. Let it go. It's going to destroy you. In the end, it'll cause you to go to hell. In the end, it won't cause you to go back with God. But we don't look at this, and we try to take the word of God to fix it when he's trying to separate you from it. That's because we're not walking in the spirit. We're walking more in our flesh. And many times we go into person after person after person because we're seeking something. But it's truly not God and his will. We're truly seeking what's going to appease the flesh. No, ma'am, and no, sir, it won't please God. I got to seek what pleases him. And some people think suffering in the natural is the way of God. No, you got to suffer in the spirit. You got to suffer for his sake so that you can reign with him. Suffering because that's what your flesh like, that won't work. I got to suffer because that's what the spirit wants. Hallelujah. Amen goes right there. I told this lady this morning that I was going to share something about the farm, and I will, but let's go to prayer. And right after prayer, I'm going to tell about the vision for the farm for Jesus in the morning. I didn't forget it. I know y'all thought I did. No, ma'am, and no, sir. Excuse me. We just have to wait on God. We just have to stand. And after standing, we have to stand some more. Excuse me. He hasn't forgotten us. He has not forgotten us. All right, let's go to this one. Hallelujah.
God, we're grateful because if it had not been for you, we would not be here. We opened our eyes this morning, God, because you gave us the strength to open our eyes. We were able to rise because you gave us strength in our limbs and the facilities of our body. We were able to get here, God, because you blessed us and brought us the way of safety and did not allow harm to come to us, Lord. We're grateful to again come into your presence because we know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as we come before you today, have your way, Lord. Let flesh be crucified that you might be glorified, that your people might be edified in the name of Jesus. For God in you is life. And that's what we seek, God, life, eternal life, God. We pray, oh God, today that you will touch every person that have come seeking you, Lord. Bind the hand of the devil, God. Rebuke the hand of the enemy, Lord. God, let your anointing that resonates in this place even now. God, let there be an outpouring on your people. We need you, God, to take us to another level in you, Lord. God, we're faced with demonic forces, God. Evil spirits have come up against us, Lord, and we need to be fortified with your power. God, we can't make it on our own strength, God. We don't have enough to stand on, Lord. But we know, God, that your joy is our strength. Fill us up on today in the name of Jesus. Somebody have come this morning burdened down, God, with the issues of life, God. Somebody, God, is in the battle of their life. Somebody's, God, fighting in their mind and in their spirit, Lord, where the devil have come in to war against them, Lord. But we thank you, God, because we know greater are you that's within us than he that is within this world, God. We know, God, that you are a deliverer, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're no short of your promise, Lord, and you're able to deliver us, Lord. Touch us on today, Lord. We need you like never before. Fill us up with the Holy Ghost, God, and give us a refilling, Lord, that when we leave here today, Lord, we can leave with your anointing, Lord, that as we meet men and women, boys and girls, they might be converted to know who you are, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you because you are a healer. You're the God that healeth thee, and healing is in your wings, and you're able to touch our feeble bodies. You're able to save our troubled souls, and in the name of Jesus, bind every demon, Lord, every demonic force, Lord, God, that comes to keep us in the same place, Lord. We're willing, God, to surrender and say yes to your will, Lord. We're willing to turn our lives, God, over into your hands, Lord, because we come to the place, God, where we realize like never before, we need you, Jesus. More than anything we know, we need you, Jesus. While men are trying to find, God, solutions to this chaotic world, God, we're looking to you. you, Lord, because we know for every right desire, there is an answer, and Jesus, you're that answer. There's no need for us, God, to turn hither or thither, Lord. We need but to look for you, Lord, because you're the answer, God, for our trouble lies, Lord. Touch on the day, God. Bring every yoke, oh God. Save on the day, God. Deliver on the day, God. Jesus, we need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We're crying out to you, Lord. We know that you're able to save our souls. We know that you're able, God, to heal our bodies, Jesus. We know that you're able, God, to turn our situations around. Jesus, no other help we know. No other help we know. No other help we know, God. You're able, Jesus, to deliver our children. You're able, Jesus, to save the unsaved husband. You're able, Jesus, to heal the cancer patient. Nothing too hard for you, Jesus. No other God we know. We know that you're able, Jesus. We know that you're able, Jesus. We say yes to your will, God. Yes to your way, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. And we'll thank you for it. And we'll give your name the praise. And we'll bless you, Lord. Yes, we thank you, Lord. And we bless your holy name. Come on, open your mouth and give the Lord some praise.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What a prayer. What a prayer. Yeah, Pastor Mark Hinton. I love to hear this man pray. Yeah, he remind me of Bishop Ronald Brown in a way. That Ronald Brown sang the style. I like him to sing it. Hallelujah. I'm grateful unto Almighty God this morning. I'm telling you, I am blessed. He began to bless me right quick. I didn't know what he was going to do in leading this morning, but he took over. He led the way. All I had to do was follow. Hallelujah. And I got blessed for obeying God right quick, right here this morning. So listen, I wanted to talk about the farm because I told the lady I would, you know, share it so she could understand about the farm is what I'm calling it. Brother Louis always wanted a small farm, and he, you know, he loved animals and he liked organic foods, and, you know, he liked something to do. He liked ponds and, you know, having fish in his pond. So it gave me an idea if we could come up with a farm, we could buy some land and build a huge bunkhouse on it. And, you know, a couple of huge barns to store stuff. And in the huge bunkhouse, you know, people could live there who worked the farm, and there's no charge to them. Children that are in trouble, instead of going to jail or prison, they could come to the farm, depending on how deep the psychological is. Women that's being abused, that's got to get away or whatever, they could come to the farm. I'm just throwing some things out here. And we would build a whole community. And each one of us that moved to the community, we would have our own house. And there's no mortgage, interest and all of that. You pay the builder, whatever kind of house you want, you pay him, the builder, the contractor, to build your house on your plot of land, and you pay for what the house costs. Yeah, whatever it costs, because all the material, all what you want in there, it's going to cost you. And so you're going to pay them for building your house. We're going to have our own grocery stores, more than one or two. We have our own pharmacies, our own medical spot. We have our own church. You know, and everybody's free. And where you work, you get a percentage of that. Plus, every store in that community, each year you get a percentage of it because we are all working together and we all own these stores and these businesses. We own everything together. It's a contract. No one leading person. Nobody lead nobody. We all know what we're supposed to do, so we come together and do it. Now, we may have a board because the community got to be governed right. We got to make sure everybody's following what's supposed to be done. And you sign the contract saying you agree to it. So, you know, we'll bring drug abusers, alcohol abusers, people trying to get away, you know, from that situation. They can come, and you work the farm. We want a huge restaurant there. And every day, you know, when you go, before you go to work, you can go for free breakfast, free lunch, free dinner. And at dinner, you know, you may hear some beautiful music being played live. You may hear somebody preaching live. You may hear somebody testifying live. But we all for the same thing. We all want to lift up the name of Jesus. We're not just there for the benefits, because we're going to reap good benefits. But we're not just there for the benefits. But we're there to be a blessing to one another and to those that God has sent there who have problems. We want lots of counselors over there. Yeah, so that they can help people to work through the problems. Some of them childhood problems. Some of them problems after I got married, after I had a boyfriend, after I had a girlfriend. Yeah, but it messed them up. So they need some help putting things back in the right perspective, along with our fasting and praying and all this kind of thing. And we lifting up the name of Jesus. Yeah. And this morning, when I started to share a little bit with the lady, and then I promised to share it here, the Spirit of the Lord fell, because, hallelujah, he's got a purpose and a plan. And I wanted to make sure that Louis and Sherry had a house, and that he, you know, had his portion of farming the way he wanted to do it and what he wanted to do. Yeah, that just comes to me. And so God is going to perfect it. Yeah. It won't always be like this. He's going to perfect that with concern enough. Sooner or later, it's going to work in our favor. Right now, while I'm talking, he's turning it around for us. Hallelujah. Around for us. Over and over again. Yeah. And I thank him this morning. I'm excited right there. Amen goes right there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's an amazing God. And while we're trying to figure it out, he has already worked it out. I let go. And in his perfect timing, he's going to move. I believe not many days from now, he's going to move on the farm. Hallelujah, I get so excited thinking about it. Yeah, I can see myself standing there with Louis and Sherry and Shantae. And I can see the horses. I can see cows. Yeah, I see. Hallelujah. If I can see it, it can come to life. If I put it on paper, it can come alive. Hallelujah. God is safe. I even drew up a blueprint. I got the blueprint and everything. Yeah. The farm, hallelujah, the community, the houses. You may be buying a house, and you may be struggling, or, you know, you may need a lot of repairs or whatever. You may say, oh, man, I don't even have a job. I just need to get me something different. Come on, because it's not based off your credit. Uh-uh. It's based off Jesus in the morning. It's based off Freedom Doors. Oh, go ahead on today. Y'all going to make me run through the house now. My knee hurt. Don't make me hurt my knee more. Because you're going to make me run through here thinking on the goodness of the Lord for you. For you. Your house is blessed. Yeah, you can afford those payments. Because if you paid $10 a month on your house, you paying it off. My goodness and value. Huh? $10 a month and you paying your house off. This is yours. Yeah, you paying $20 a month, $25 a month, and you paying your truck, your car off. I'm talking about what you want. I ain't talking about what I'm talking about. It's on the lot and it's used and these are all we got. No. I'm talking about what you went and picked out. Yeah, because it's already paid for. You just paying back, because at the time you couldn't pay the full price, so you just paying back for the truck or the car, and it's yours. Nobody, if you don't pay the $20, nobody coming to repossess it. But if you don't do the right thing, you'll lose everything. I can't tell you that. Because God have a purpose and a plan. Hallelujah. I've got to play this request. I love it too. I love this song too. And I'm going to play it. And after this song, we're coming in with 1 Samuel. And I believe we're at the 26th chapter. And we're going to talk about the things of God, our trials. We want to talk about you were down in the valley, but God brought you up on the mountaintop. Looked like you wasn't going to make it. Everybody else had more than you. But when it, at the ending of it, you had more than everybody else. He's that kind of God. Yeah, but we must have faith and patience and trust him. Hallelujah. Let's go to this with it. When we come back, we're coming back with 1 Samuel chapter 26.
Thank you.
Walk off and let go. They won't let him let go. And then he come back and it start up again. He stop again. And they won't let him go. So he started back up again. I just love this. And this song tells his story in a way. How God blessed him to come out. Yeah. He had some problems. And God blessed him and his wife and put them back together. Because Tori said, she was done. I'm gone. Bye. You can't get it together. I can't stay here while you won't get it together. I got to go. But God bless us. And I thank God for that. Because I'm telling you, he's a unique singer. He's a unique artist. He's a unique gospel entertainer in my book. And I saw the Spirit of the Lord come on this man. And I said, my goodness, look at this. Look at this. Yeah. Because, see, if you fellowship and commune with God often enough, you'll know when he's moving. You also can see him moving. Hallelujah. Oh, it's all right today in Jesus' name. Oh, we thank him this morning. I feel like a little run coming on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, look, we going in. I done got too excited. Even pull up the book of Samuel. We're looking at 1 Samuel this morning. And I believe we're in chapter 26. And so we saw all the way from the beginning up until now how things have gone and how the enemy come in and how you have trials and you have to endure your trials. And sometimes you don't know it's a trial. You think you're just going through. Now, if God is in you and you are in God, you're going through a trial. He's not punishing you or anything like that. The trials come to make us strong so that we can do better, so that we can do more, so that we can be more of a blessing to others, so that we can obey God at any cost. Because, see, a lot of us, we only want to obey him when things going easy. Look at Louis laughed at that. Look at yeah, Russ. They wouldn't let him go, Louis. Yeah, see, when it's easy, when I'm at church and somebody come in there from the streets, you know, I can witness to them in the building because look how many people in the building that know what I know come here every week. We wearing the God sign on our chest. But in the streets, I can't do nothing. In the streets, I'm more natural. On the job, I'm working natural. I never consider allowing the spirit to come in. On the job, at the grocery store, at the doctor's office, everybody's sitting up in there like, we just waiting on a great healing from this doctor. We wait. Hey, somebody in there need to know. Well, now I'm going to tell you, I'm here because they asked me to come in and take labs. They asked me to come in and discuss the labs. But look, I had a foot problem and he healed it. He healed me completely of diabetes. They said they were going to cut two toes off each foot, all kind of stuff. The foot was wide open, oozing water. And I told you I was coming back from the PX, the BX, or one of them on base. And it just come to me, look at your feet. You need to pray. And I began to pray the prayer phase right there. I said, Lord, heal my feet. I dance before you with these feet. And Lord, if they take toes, I won't be able to dance before you. Don't let them do it. Well, I went on. Forgot all about it. Had a doctor's appointment, went to it. Before I went to the doctor, the feet had healed up so pretty. You never knew they was going through no diabetes, whatever it was. And when I went in there, she looked and she said, what did you... She was going to say do, and then she said, oh, no, I already know. She said, and he laughed, they done come back looking real good. I give you a good bill of health. She said, now listen, get out my office. Go on. Go. I just need help out of here. So, see, she knew me because I had been going to her for a while. And I was just going to begin to tell her about it, the goodness of the Lord and her patience was going to hit. And, you know, she don't want them to think this is a church doctor. But we really do medicine over here. So I got on up out of her way. I went on with my healed feet. No diabetes. A1C perfect. Yeah. Vitamin D good. Yeah, yeah. Because for some reason, don't ask me why, because I wouldn't be able to tell you. But for some reason, African-American people, we suffer from lack of vitamin D. Some of us suffer from lack of vitamin B. And so we have to take extra stuff to keep us right. And I believe that has something to do with diabetes too. Now, I could be wrong. But I believe that not enough vitamin D have something to do with diabetes. So we just have to do what we have to do. God open the door and made a way, amen, medical knowledge, and hey, we good. And it's all right today, in Jesus' name, yeah. We suffer with different things, different people suffer with different things. I'm just saying what I know for me. I'm African-American, they call me black or whatever. Okay, you play too much. Okay, at one time, Negro. Okay, that's what they called us, yeah. But today, even in all that, we bless. All right, Brother Louis. All right, Brother Louis, off the diabetic medication. He said, yes, me too, yesterday. The doc took me off diabetic medication, off diabetic meds. Isn't that beautiful? Hallelujah. He did me. He took me off of it. Yeah, I was taking metformin. It started messing me up because I didn't need it. My blood sugar was regulating on it. My insulin was doing what it was supposed. My pancreas was working. God is faithful. Prayer fixed it for me every time. So these are trials that we go through, even with health issues. Sometimes we eat too much of something. I'm guilty. I'm raising my right hand. I'm so guilty of the chocolate, the sugar, cakes, pies. I love all of that. Guilty. Fried foods. Come out from among it, Barbara, and be separated. Yeah. So I'm working on that. Today, I ate nothing yet. And when I go to eat for lunch, I think I just have a plain salad, maybe put a little lemon over it or something, a little salt and pepper, and go on. No dressing, because that's fattening. The good ranch, you know, I love it. Even the raspberry vinaigrette, that's too much for me. I love all those different type things, but I got to stay away from it. You know, every now and then I have to pull way back because God know what best for me. But they read my labs and they looking real good. And I'm drinking my whole body cleanse by the doctor. What did I say his name? Doc Wow, somebody. But I'm drinking that and that helps too. And I'm taking vitamin D. Hallelujah. God is faithful. Oh, look at you, Brother Lewis. Look at you gonna show out fried chicken, fried okra, fried eggplant. You know what I love. And stop it, I say this morning. I'm not gonna be encouraged to try none of it today. I'm gonna stick to that salad. Irene been praying for me. I'm gonna do what God wants me to do, and I'm gonna do right so he can bless me and heal my body completely. I got work to do, and I can't do work sick. Hallelujah. So we thank God this morning. So listen, we back at 1 Samuel 26. And it says this. And the Ziphites came to Saul at Giblah and said, is not David waiting secretly near us in the hill of Hachilah before the wasteland? Y'all remember this? Then Saul went down to the wasteland of Ziph, taking with him 3,000 of the best men of Israel to make search for David in the wasteland of Ziph. And Saul put up his tent on the hill of Hachilah, which is in front of the wasteland on the road. But David was in the wasteland, and he saw that Saul was coming after him. Now we remember a while back here, Saul said, is that you, my son, David? And when David explained, you're more right than I am. Remember that? Now he back at David again. That devil don't give up. He come to steal, kill, and destroy. But when God got you, you don't have to worry about it. He going to make a way for you to escape every time. And what he got for you, that place where he got for you, he going to bring you to that spot. I don't care what they say. I don't care what stumbling blocks they try to throw in your way. On the job, they don't want you to be the manager. They don't want you to be the supervisor, but God already ordained that spot for you. At church, they don't want you to be the pastor. They don't want you to be the leading a deacon. They don't want you to be the head usher. They don't want you leading no songs in the choir. But God has already ordained your spot. And he said in his word that we stand on, if he be for us, he's more than the whole world against us. Who going to come against God? Who can out defeat him? Who can defeat Almighty God? We just got to have patience. Faith, patience, and trust him. Faith, patience, and trust God. Hallelujah. And all things going to work together for our good. He called some of us, he chose, and he know we love him. Huh? And it's already all right. So look. Verse 4 says, so David sent out watchers and got word from them that Saul was certainly coming. And David got up and came to the place where Saul's tents were. And David had a view of the place where Saul was sleeping with Abner. Okay, get out of here this morning. I don't have time for you. Okay. I said get out. Okay. So... No, not today. I'm busy right now. Are they crazy? They coming to fix my computer virtually, but I don't have time. All right, so verse 5 says, and David got up and came to the place where Saul's tents were. And David had a view of the place where Saul was sleeping with Abner, the son of Ner, the captain of his army. And Saul was sleeping inside the ring of cots, and the tents of the people were all around him. Look at this now. Check it out. If God be for you, he'll make a way. Look here. He said he'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He will anoint your head with oil. Huh? Your cup will run over. Woo! So look. In verse 6 it says, then David said to Ahimelech, the Hittite, and to Abishai, the son of Zariah, brother of Joab, who will go down with me to the tents of Saul. And Abishai said, I will go down with you. Look here. He asked him, hey, look here, who's going to go down here with me? Y'all see how he got found all in the middle and the people sleeping all around him and cots, rings of cots, and, you know, they got their chariot stuff all, thinking they protected him. Verse 7 says, so David and Abishai came down to the army by night. And Saul was sleeping inside the ring of cots with his spear planted in the earth by his head. And Abner and the people were sleeping round him. Verse 8 says, then Abishai said to David, God has given up your hater into your hands today. Now let me give him one blow through to the earth with his spear, and there would be no need to give him a second. Look here. Abishai said, look here. Let me take his spear and stab it through him, and he going to stick in the ground like he a part of the dirt. You hear me? Abishai was going to do him right there. And he said, if you let me do this, there would be no need to give him a second chance. You ain't going to have to tell him he God's anointed no more. You're not going to have to tell him, I don't have nothing. You won't have to say none of that, David, because he will be through. I will kill him dead. Dead, dead, dead. Oh, yeah. So verse 9 says, and David said to Abishai, do not put him to death. For who without sin may put out his hands against a man on whom the Lord has put the holy oil? David still saw King Saul as the anointed, because Saul poured the holy oil on him like he did David. Verse 10 says, and David said, by the living Lord, the Lord will send destruction on him. The natural day of his death would come, or he would go into the fight and come to his end. Now, David prophesied right there. Yes, he did. He said, look, the natural day of his death will come, or he'll go into the fight and come to his end. Oh, yeah. 11 says, never will my hand be stretched out against a man marked with the holy oil, but take the spear which is by his head and the vessel of water and let us go. Remember the last time he cut a piece of his robe off. This time he just took the water bottle and took his spear. So Saul will know, I've been right there up on your partner. I could have took you out, but I didn't. I still have respect for you as God's anointed. But you still want to come after me. Hold on, y'all. Let me get him. Okay, now get on out of there. All right, so we're looking at verse 12 now. So David took the spear and the vessel of water from Saul's head, and they got away without any man seeing them. Now look, now you're supposed to be protecting the king. And you don't let the enemy, the king think, the person that the king think is his enemy, come in and take his vessel of water and his spear. Y'all sleeping like newborn babies over there. When God is for you, who can be against you? Talk to me this morning if you want to. He said if he be for you, he's more than the whole world against you. You know you ain't did nothing to nobody, but these people are angry with you. You know you ain't did nothing to nobody, but these people don't like you. They jealous of you. You don't have what you feel. You feel like, I ain't got nothing but God. And y'all jealous of that? You can get him for yourself. And you can have him too. But that's not the way they think. So look at 13. Then David went over to the other side and took his place on the top of a mountain, some distance away, with a great space between them. Between him, Saul, and his, I'm going to call him his entourage. Between him and all them soldiers he brought with him and all of that for one man. My goodness, I'm dying. So 14 says, and crying out to the people and to Abner, the son of Ner, he was the captain, remember, over Saul's army. David said, have you no answer to give Abner? Then Abner said, who is that crying out to the king? And David said to Abner, are you not a man of war? Is there any other like you in Israel? Why then have you not kept watch over your lord, the king? For one of the people came in to put the king, your lord, to death. Yeah, because Abishai was going to knock him off. Y'all hear me? Abishai was going to kill Saul, and he was not going to play. Yeah. The holy oil been on him. Abishai said he was going to put that sword through him and see what that mount up to. Yeah. Because, see, I know the way he started. This is the enemy. This is the devil. He don't count. We can kill him and go. Yeah, because David, you got something on you. You got an anointing on you. God done call you to. Yeah. But that ain't the way David rolled. And he was a man after God's own heart. Hallelujah. In spite of. You hear me? So verse 16 says, what you have done is not good. By the living Lord, death is the right fate for you. Look now. You didn't protect the king. You should die. Because you have not kept watch over your Lord, the man on whom the Lord has put the holy oil. Now see, where is the king's spear and the vessel of water which was by his head? Where that's at, Abner, captain? Over King Saul's armor, the baddest captain he could ever want. Where that's at? 17 says, and Saul conscious that the voice was David. Said, is that your voice, David, my son? Here we go. And David said, it is my voice, O my Lord King. Look at David. Still honoring the man. He knew Saul was going to put him to death. That was no joke. But he wanted to do what's right in the sight of the Lord. And he remembered that God had anointed Saul. So he was not going to come against God's anointing. I'm praying about that. All right. 18 says, and he said, why does my Lord go armed against his servant? What have I done, or what evil is there in me? Let my Lord the king give ear now to the words of his servant. If it is the Lord who is moving you against me, let him take an offering. But if it is the children of men, may they be cursed before the Lord for driving me out today and keeping me from my place in the heritage of the Lord. Saying, go, be the servant of other gods. Yeah. They drove him out. He had to run. So he may have to deal with these people over here that were similar to the Amalekites. He may have to deal with a few Philistines to, you know, keep food for whatever, you see. But you drove me out. And he said, if it's God, oh boy, look at here. It's all right. But if it's you and your flesh, and you lead them people by their flesh to drive me out, God got something for you, and he does. I just want to throw that little bit in there. 20 says, then do not let my blood be drained out on the earth away from the face of the Lord. For the king of Israel has come out to take my life like one going after birds in the mountain. Yeah. So you just coming out after me, one man, like you going out to hunt a special bird, like you going out, you know, to hunt something. I'm one man, David. But see, Saul knew David the king, David the anointed. Yeah, he know. David the anointed. He know. 21 says, then Saul said, I have done wrong. Didn't he say that before? Come back to me, David, my son. I will do you no more wrong because my life was dear to you today. Truly, I have been foolish and my error is very great. I think he said something similar to that before. Then David said, here is the king's spear. Let one of the young men come over and get it. 23. And the Lord will give to every man the reward of his righteousness and his faith. Because the Lord gave you into my hands today. And I will not put out my hands against a man who has been marked with the holy oil. 24 says, and so as your life was dear to me today, may my life be dear to the Lord. And may he make me free from all my troubles. Now you notice he didn't say, And so as your life was dear to me today, my life be dear to you. Nope. He said, my life be dear to the Lord, and may he make me free from all my troubles. Yeah. 25 says, then Saul said to David, may a blessing be on you. David, my son, you will do great things, and without doubt you will overcome. Then David went on his way, and Saul went back to his place. Saul knew. He already knew that God had took that anointing from him and gave it to his neighbor, David. And David was going to become king. Hallelujah. And see, sometimes you just got to watch as well as pray. You don't want to be off course. You don't want to be against people that God is not against, because we're allowing our flesh to rule and reign. Looked like Barbara was over there with Dot talking about me. When if she said anything about you, good or bad, one thing about Barbara, if you called on her, she coming. And she didn't talk about you with outsiders. She talked about you with another sister in Christ who can pray for you. Even if she didn't say, well, Dot, pray for Jerry. Dot went on and prayed. Even if she didn't say, Sion, pray for Jerry. Sion went on and prayed. Brother Louis, pray for Brother Anthony. She didn't say that, but Louis went on and prayed. Because one thing about it, she don't think bad about none of us. God sent us her way. She have to be careful, because she don't want none of this fire punishment. I'm telling you. Oh, I don't want none of that fire punishment. Evil spirits coming on me, and and I'm in a bad way. No, I don't want none of that. I'm going to lose everything for a few trinkets. I'm going to lose everything to show people where it's not God in control. I'm doing all of this. The devil is a fool and a liar, and will make a fool and a liar out of you. I won't be able to do it. I got to keep God in charge. I got to tell you who did it all. I can't take his glory. Mm-mm. And he told me that. So we're looking at 27 and in verse 1. And David said to himself, someday death will come to me by the hand of Saul. Oh, no, sir, the devil is a lie. The only thing for me to do is to get away into the land of the Philistines. Then Saul would give up hope of taking me in any part of the land of Israel, and so I may be able to get away from him. Look, Saul was not going to stop, and he's right. This is second go round. Three strikes, you're out now. This is second go round. So David said, I got to leave him going on over there with the enemies. Because if I stay over here, one day Saul going to, you know, do me instead of him being done. But God had a plan, and he had a purpose. And so David, you know, a lot of times we kind of move in us, you know, according to our flesh, what we feel, which we shouldn't. But sometimes we do this. But nevertheless, God have a purpose and a plan for our lives. And what is for you is for you. You can go around the mountain, or you can go up the mountain, or you can go through the mountain. However you go, the ending of it going to be what God's plan was for you. How about that? Unless you just decide you don't want it at all. I don't want the plan of God. I want the plan to bother. Yeah, you telling yourself, I don't want to do that. I want to do this. And the Lord said, but Bob, if you go to the project and you ever stand in the need of something, the project people are going to be there for you. And he proved that to me. He proved this to me, the government housing people where they hell raised shoot and clown and sell dope and smoke dope. Those very same people will be there for you. The gang leader will be for your barber. You're not for what he's doing, but you are for him. You're going to see that he's well taken care of. I told you about the little fella who used to come to the door. And when I was selling stuff at the apartment, he would say, hey, Miss Mac, he say, I only have a quarter and I need 50 cents worth of them strawberry cookies. I love this little boy, y'all got to know. And I'll bring your other quarter back later. I said, boy, let me tell you something. You better bring my quarter back because you know how I am about my money. Say, yeah, Miss Mac, I know how he is about that money. He would come back with my quarter and said, Miss Mac, I say, yeah, I brought your quarter back now, Miss Mac, but I'm going to need another quarter of 50 cents worth of them cookies. And this would go on. And everybody knew him for doing that. But that was his way of building a relationship with me. And this young man got killed and I was able to go to his funeral. And you know, a lot of us was really, really hurt. But when I got up to tell these things, it made people laugh and that lightened the load because, you know, they was down on him and tell him, you know, how bad he had been. And I got up to tell how good he was. I got up to tell how he had respect for me as an old woman. You know what I'm saying? He could have cut a fool. He never did that with me. He would come to the door and say, Miss Mac, Mama say you want to talk to me? I said, yeah, come on in here. Sit down and talk to you a minute. He was like, Miss Mac, Mama, I said, yeah. She said, you doing all of that. He'd be like, no, Miss Mac, my Mama confused. You know how Mama is. Mama think it's that, but Miss Mac, but it was that. But to keep me from really getting on him, he would try to make it like it was his mama fault. It was her thinking. It wasn't what he was doing. He said, Miss Mac, I need a job now. You playing, you're taking too long. Yeah. See, God will do all of this for you. And because it's not where you're at, but it's what you're doing unto him. Are you working for him or are you just moving in here according to your flesh? I don't care where you're at. You could be at the White House. Are you there because God sent you there? Are you in there doing things because God is leading and God? Or this your flesh got you over there because you want to do something for the feeling of flesh? And that's what got America in trouble right now, the people and their flesh and what they want. Never really truly considering God to give God what he wants. Yet God is blessing. He didn't bless America. He is blessing America still. But if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive the sins and heal the land. We all need a healing. My land need a healing. Your land need a healing. America need healing. All American land. I don't care. Hawaii, Alaska, all of it need a healing. And some places need more healing than others. California need a great healing. The whole state. Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, everywhere need a healing. Philadelphia, New York. We all need a healing. So we're moving on. So David and the 600 men who were with him went over to Achish, the son of Moach, king of Gath. Verse 2 of 1 Samuel, chapter 27. Verse 3 saying, David and his men were living with Achish at Gath. Remember, he told him, you done pushed me out to go over here with these Philistines. You done pushed me out to go over here with a people, in other words, who don't serve the same God as we're supposed to be serving. So he over there with the king at Gath. And every man had his family with him. Look at this. And David had his two wives, Ahinoam and Jezreel and Abigail. Oh, that's three. No, that's two. Ahinoam and Abigail of Carmel, who had been the wife of Nabal. Remember Nabal, that nut? Ooh, when he found out David was coming to kill, he got stiff. He froze, and then a few days later, he died. Yeah, remember him? And David took his wife, Abigail, and married. Verse 4. and saw hearing that David had gone to Gath, went after him no longer. You see, David said it. Then David said to Achish, if now I have grace in your eyes, let me have a place in one of the smaller towns of your land to be my living place. For it is not right for your servants to be living with you in the king's town. So David, now he's becoming a servant of Achish. And he's telling him, just give me a place in a small town because I shouldn't be living in the big town with the king. Verse 6 says, so Achish straightaway gave him Ziklag. And for that reason, Ziklag has been the property of the kings of Judah to this day. Until this day, because David was in Ziklag. Hallelujah. Verse 7 says, and David was living in the land of the Philistines for the space of a year and 4 months, 14 months. 8 says, and David and his men went up and made a tax on the Jeshurites and the Gizrites and the Amalekites. But these were the people who were living in the land from Telem to the way of Shur, as far as Egypt. And David again and again made attacks on the land till not a man or a woman was still living. Didn't I tell y'all that David hand was bloody? He believed in taking over. He believed in war. And he was a great fighter. Yeah. And he took away the sheep and the oxen and the asses and the camels and the clothing. And he came back to Achish. And every time Achish said, where have you been fighting today? David said, against the south of Judah and the south of the Jerahmeelites and the south of the Kenites. 11 says, not one living man or woman did David ever take back with him to Gath, fearing that they might give an account of what had taken place. And say, this is what David did, and so has he been doing all the time while he has been living in the land of the Philistines. Look here, he was killing them. Not leaving no evidence nowhere, taking all this stuff. Listen, if God is for you, he's more than the whole world against you. God even have a business for you to go in, and you working on a job. And the job you're working on is the same type business you want to do. But you know somewhat how to do what needs to be done. But when it comes to the paperwork and the office, the administration part, you're not quite sure. So he'll link you up with somebody in their office who know how to begin and how to keep it running and give you favor with them. The next thing you know, you got your own company. And you exceeded them. They went under because they wasn't right and they didn't do the employees right. But God knows you're going to do your customers right and your employees right. So he bring you up. But you didn't put a word out to no employee. You didn't tell nobody on the job nothing but that one person that you found favor with. They found favor in you and you found favor in them. Next thing you know, you own your own business. You're doing it big. Hallelujah. Now I look at you. In a few years, you're a multimillionaire. It didn't take you 5 years, but it did take you 2. Hallelujah. But you worked it. Gave up a lot. Had to let a lot go until you got to the place where your business ran itself. Now you can buy anything you want. Hallelujah. In verse 12, it says, and Achish had believed in what David said. He believed him, saying he has made himself hated by all his people Israel. Because Achish thought David was over there fighting Judah and Israel. He was over there fighting them Philistines. You hear me? He was over there fighting Achish people, his kind. Yeah. And so he will be my servant forever. Oh, you think David going to serve somebody forever, mister? In the words of the street, he got life on a bubblegum. He got life on a ditch If he think David, the king, finna serve him forever, oh no, but he didn't know. Achish didn't know. So we're looking at chapter 28. Yeah, we got some time. Chapter 28 and verse 1. Let me go down. I want to check something here to be sure. Yeah, we got time. In verse 1, this is what it says. Now, in those days, the Philistines got their forces together to make war on Israel. And Achish said to David, certainly you and your men are to go out with me to the fight. And verse 2, and David said to Achish, you will see now what your servant will do. And Achish said to David, then I will make you keeper of my head forever. Verse 3 says, now Samuel was dead, and all Israel, after weeping for him, had put his body in his last resting place in Ramah, his town. And Saul had put away from the land all those who had control of spirits and who made use of secret arts. These the witchcraft people, the two-headed people, the voodoo people, the black magic people, anybody working spirits, if I catch you, you're dead. This is what Saul done. So in verse 4, and the Philistines came together and put their forces in position in Shunem. And Saul got all Israel together, and they took up their position in Gilboa. Verse 5 says, and when Saul saw the Philistine army, he was troubled, and his heart was moved with fear. Now, going on over there and chase after David, you didn't have no fear to chase after that one man, but now these Philistines done got together, now you're scared. Yeah. Verse 6 says, when Saul went for direction to the Lord gave him no answer. By dream or by the Urim or by the prophets. See, Samuel was gone. And God took his anointed from Saul and told, you know, Samuel what it was going to be. But Samuel gone. He done anoint David, and David coming into kingship. He got to go through the trials to get there, but they only coming to make David strong. Look at all the people he done went and warred against and fought and took, and nobody knew he was over there doing all of that. Oh, yeah, God had to prove him and prove him to himself as well. Sometimes God got to prove you to you. You got a master's degree. You got a PhD. You got a fellowship, and you mean to tell me you working for somebody? I had a high school diploma, and I was determined not to work for other people unless I did what I did for them to get the money to enhance my business, to enhance what I was going to do. Yeah, I paid my taxes, all of that. God cut it off because he had places for me to go, and I couldn't go to these places being at this one business. Anyway, let's roll. And when Saul went for direction to the Lord gave him no answer by the dream or by the Urim or by the prophets. Verse 7 says, then Saul said to his servants, get me a woman who has control of spirit so that I may go to her and get direction. And his servant said to him, there is such a woman in Endor. Now, remember, he done already told him, now, if I catch y'all working this work, I catch y'all working this witchcraft and all of this, I'm going to kill you. You good as dead. Now he wants somebody to go find him one. Go find me a witch. Yeah. So, because verse 7 says this, and then Saul said unto his servant, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit in Endor, that would be a witch. Verse 8 says, so Saul putting on other clothing so that he might not be seen to be the king, took two men with him and went to the woman by night. And he said, now, with the help of the spirit which you have, make the person whose name I will give you come up. Now I want y'all to understand this right here. You know them people that say they speak to the dead? And they tell people what the dead person has said back to them. That's true. That is real. I don't know how long it'll last. But that's true, because watch this. in verse 9, and the woman said to him, but you have knowledge of what Sarah has done, how he has put away out of the land those who have control of spirits and the users of secret arts. Why would you by a trick put me in danger of death? She knew it was Sarah, though. Verse 10 said, and Sarah made an oath to her by the Lord, saying, by the living Lord, no punishment will come to you for this. 11 says, then the woman said, who am I to let you see? And he said, make Samuel come up for me. In other words, she said, well, who you want to see that's dead? He said, bring me Samuel. I need Samuel to come up. You see what I'm saying? That is true when the man said, well, your father said this and this to you, and many people start crying because they know it's the truth. Yeah. So she going to bring the dead Samuel up. Check it out. I want y'all to look at this now. Yeah, think spirits is a joke. No, that ain't. Okay, play with it now. So look, in verse 12 it says, and the woman saw that it was Saul. And she gave a loud cry and said to Saul, why have you made use of deceit? For you are Saul. 13 says, and the king said to her, have no fear. What you do see. And the woman said to Saul, I see a God coming up out of the earth. Now, when she said God, that's with a small g. That's not with the big G, what we call back in the day the capital G. It's a small g for God. 14 says, and he said to her, what is his form? And she said, it is an old man coming up covered with a robe. And Saul saw that it was Samuel. Saul could see. And with his face bent down to the earth, he gave him honor. And Samuel said to Saul, listen to this. I want you to hear this now. And Samuel said to Saul, why have you made me come up? Well, in other words, what you brought me up for? What you want with me, Saul? Troubling my rest. I was resting good. I'm in great danger, for the Philistines are making war on me. And God has gone away from me and will no longer give me any answer by the prophets or by dreams. So I've sent for you to make clear to me what I am to do. Lord, have mercy. Biggest mistake he ever made. He should have left it alone, I'm trying to tell you. Sometimes we need to leave things alone. Don't keep bugging God about it. Don't keep running over there telling, I'm going to the prophet and see if he got a word, see if she got a word. Stop all of that. You can mess around and get the wrong information. And before you die, it destroys you. It destroys your mind and everything. Your body just starts shutting down in a way. Because you're seeking where you shouldn't be, and now you done found the wrong information. So I should have left it alone, but he couldn't. He done called the prophet Samuel up out the grave. Out this man rest. This man is resting. He done served you for years, Saul. You was disobedient. But see, selfishness don't care. Listen. 16 says, and Samuel said, why do you put your question to me? Why do you come asking me, Saul? Seeing that God has gone away from you and is on the side of him who is against you. Because that's what you said David was against you. God done left you, Saul, and gave it to David. What you asking me for? I don't have the power to give it back. 17 says, and the Lord himself has done what I said. The Lord has taken the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David. Didn't I tell you? He done took it all from you and gave it to your neighbor David. He done gave it to the little ruddy-looking shepherd boy. He done gave it to Jesse's son. Hallelujah. So verse 18 says this. Oh, my goodness. because you did not do what the Lord said and did not give effect to his burning wrath against Amalek. So the Lord has done this thing to you today. Verse 19 says, and more than this, the Lord will give Israel up with you into the hands of the Philistines. And tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. Did you hear that? And the Lord will give up the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines. Disobedience. Do not come against God's anointed. If you don't know what's going on, shut your mouth and roll on. But don't talk about the past if you don't know what you're doing. If you don't understand, I need you to pray and let it go. He's chasing after David to kill him. Man ain't did nothing to him, but tried to serve him with love. His disobedience caused him to be in this rut. By this time tomorrow, Saul, you and both your sons will be in be with me. Y'all going to be dead. How about that? 21 says, and the woman came to Saul and saw that he was in great trouble. Oh, he was hurt. He was through. He was, I couldn't imagine. And said to him, see how your servant has given ear to your word? And I put my life in danger by doing what you said. 22, so now give ear to the voice of your servant and let me give you a little bread and take some food to give you strength when you go on your way. Yeah, because I want you up out of here because you still got the power of king and you can kill me anytime you get ready. He just gave you some bad news too. You can hold it against me. That evil spirit come up and saw he did it. Yeah. Don't forget, he fought too. 23 says, but he would not, saying, I have no desire for food. But his servants, together with the woman, made him take food. And he gave way to them. So he got up from the earth and took his seat on the bed. Yeah, he got up and decided to eat. Because he didn't ask the true prophet. And the true prophet told him the truth. By this time tomorrow, you and your boy is going to be with me. Y'all gonna be dead. 24 says, and the woman had in the house a young cow made fat for food, and she put it to death straight away. And she took meal and got it mixed and made unleavened bread. And she put it before Saul and his servant, and they had a meal. Then they got up and went away the same night. Boy, look at here. Ooh, we look at here. When I tell you, oh my goodness, we don't know the things that God does for us. We coming into position. We coming into a better position. You're coming into pastoring the church. You're coming into being the supervisor or the manager on your job. You're getting ready to open your own business. Your healing is coming about. All the promises of God look like they're just zooming in from everywhere. But you don't know what God did to get you there. He allowed the trials because he wants you to be stronger in what he's given you, to remember him and to stay with him. See, because sometimes we get in big places and we forget God. And after we in there for a few minutes, we go to feeling ourselves and feeling like I did this. I can do that. The company done trained me. Larry Peabody trained me how to throw cars and to work day labor, how to work the superintendent to get my company to send him men out there on the job. He showed me how to dress. When I go out there to talk to the superintendent, when I go out there to talk to the supervisor on the job, he taught me these things. I didn't just know this. And after a while, see, I wasn't saved. I started feeling myself. You know, I got this. I'm going to talk to Superintendent John. He going to get 20 men. He going to get 10 men a day. Yeah, I'm feeling myself. Ain't no prayer, no none of that. And God allowed it because I had skills. But we don't want to operate in skills only. We want to operate in the anointing of God. We want to operate according to the Spirit of God. We want to be led by Him. Because some things are not going to look the way that we want it to look, but it's going to end up being exactly what we need and more. Hallelujah. Somebody tell God thank you this morning. Because He's blessing you. Hey, look at here right now. Hey, thank you. He is blessing you right now. Let me tell y'all something, and I hope He don't mind. He usually don't mind if I'm led by the Spirit. He told me yesterday he don't mind. George West Perry, I listened to this man talk yesterday because I had him to call me for something. And I listened to him talk yesterday. And I could hear all in this man's voice, educated. I could hear a straight shooter. I could hear he needed in documentation that's understandable. You just can't throw and give him any old thing. I heard that yesterday. Now, imagine him being led by the Spirit of God. My goodness, I'm saying, which he's led. I tried to give him something yesterday, which I knew he was not going to take. That's why I had him to call me. And I knew he wasn't going to take it like that. I had to do much more, say much more in order for him to understand what I was trying to present. He said, no, evangelist. And then he told me, I didn't mind you sharing what God had done, you know, as long as you didn't think I wanted you to share it, you know, so he could take credit from God. I said, no. And we talked for a few minutes and I got a few things resolved. I felt better when I got off with what, you know, God blessed me to be able. But I just know that a lot of times we get a little power and we lose our mind. We take the power from God and we using it. You know, we talking about us and what we can do. We want to shine. We want to look better than everybody else. We want to do this and do that. And that brought me to this. Intercessors, I need y'all to pray with me that God bless me to redo this house. It can be back to its original form. So I will live in a house that enhances the community. I don't want to bring the community down. I want to bring it up. That was on my mind right then. So y'all pray for that. Now we're back to this. 1 Samuel 29. Chapter 1. Let me see if we're going to be able to finish this one too. Oh, yeah, they short. So look. Now the Philistines got all their armies together at Aphek. And the Israelites put their forces in position by the fountain in Jezreel. And the Lord of the Philistines went on with their hundreds and their thousands. And David and his men came after Achish. Remember him? Then the rulers of the Philistines said, what are these Hebrews doing here? And Achish said to the rulers of the Philistines, is this not David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, who has been with me for a year or two? And I have never seen any wrong in him from the time when he came to me till now. So now the rulers of the Philistines said, what? You done brought this Hebrew here? What are you doing here? So now Achish trying to talk it up, you know. It's David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, who's been with me for a year or two. And I never seen any wrong in him from the time when he came. From day one, he ain't never did no wrong to me. I ain't never seen nothing wrong about it. He on my side. The ruler said, look at your fool. But anyway, let's go down to verse 4. But the rulers of the Philistines were angry with him. They was angry with Achish and said to him, make the man go back to the place you have given him. Do not let him go down with us to the fight, or he may be turned against us and be false to us. For how will this man make peace with his Lord? Will it not be with the heads of these men? Look here, nut. Look here, crazy. Achish. Send him back to the spot you told him he could have. Send him back to that little town. Don't let him come with us to fight Israel now. Because he's going to come to him. These your people you fight against, and he's going to turn against us. And David done killed tens of thousands in one fight. So no. And he got the answer to his God. And he's going to answer with our heads. He ain't going to answer with Israel's heads. Hallelujah. Verse 5 says, is this not David who was named in their songs when in the day they said to one another, Saul has put to death thousands and David 10,000? Okay then. Verse 6 says, then Achish sent for David and said to him, by the living Lord, you are upright and everything you have done with me in the army has been pleasing to me. Because remember, behind the scenes, David was knocking them off right and left, killing everything. Nothing was living. Left living, in other words, I have seen no evil in you from the day when you came to me till now. But still, the Lords are not pleased with you. The rulers of the Philistines is not pleased with you. Verse 7 says, so now go back and go in peace so that you do not make the Lords of the Philistines angry. Go back to the little small town I gave you, David, and go in peace. We all right with each other. But go ahead now, because we don't want to make these rulers angry. Verse 8 says, and David said to Achish, but what have I done? Oh, that David is off the chain. Hear me? What have you seen in your servant while I have been with you till this day, that I may not go and take up arms against those who are now making war on my Lord the king? What you say, Jerry Crowe? What you say, Jerry Crowe? Verse 9 says, and Achish in answer said, it is true that in my eyes you are good, like an angel of God. But still, the rulers of the Philistines have said, he is not to go up with us to the fight. Now, you're not going to bring no enemy up. They coming to help me fight against their own people. No, that won't be. That's not going to happen. Yeah, because I'm all the days of my life, it's in me that you fighting against my people, I'm going to have to fight against you. Yeah, because fighting them is like fighting me, because we the same. Yeah. So he told him, no, you send him on away. To let him go on back. You ain't did nothing. You good in my eyes, David, but it's the rulers. They don't want you to fight with them. And I'm telling you now, the rulers was pretty smart, if you ask me. Verse 10 says, so get up early in the morning with the servants of your Lord who are with you and go to the place I have given you and have no evil design in your heart, for you are good in my eyes. But when there is light enough in the morning, go away. Look. Get up early in the morning, David, and your servants, and of the Lord, and y'all go ahead back to the place, you know, where I gave you to live, the little small town. And don't have no evil in your heart. Don't think evil or plan nothing evil against me, for you good in my eyes. But when there was light enough in the morning, y'all go away. Verse 11 says, so David and his men got up early in the morning to go back to the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines went up to Jezreel. Let's see. I don't think I have enough. But we on 20, where we at? We at 39. Wait a minute, we going on to see. Okay, we at verse 30. And after verse 30, that's going to end 1 Samuel. The book of 1 Samuel, and then we'll start on 1 Samuel 2 on Monday. And I want to explain this because a lot of people love this. They love it. I love it too. And a lot of people ask me questions, well, when is we getting back to 1 Samuel? When you stop 1 Samuel, you got right to the point where I was going to see what was out, and you cut it off. So I want to explain this. Tomorrow is Thursday. I have a special, special surprise guest coming to testify. Beautiful testimony. On Friday, I won't be here. So that's why we basically doing Testify Friday tomorrow. And so we have a wonderful guest that's coming to testify tomorrow, and we just going to have a wonderful church service in the morning tomorrow. And on Monday when we come back, we'll finish up the book of 1 Samuel. And we're going to try to finish it all on Monday. So on Tuesday, we'll start 2 Samuel. And you're going to see how all of this play into 1 and 2 Kings. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, yeah, I won't go into that because I want to open up the studio for anyone that has something they would like to say. Sister Dottie and I was talking this morning, and she gave me a wonderful, wonderful testimony. I said, look at that right there. Nobody but God. He blessed her. Yes, he did. Hallelujah. So I'm grateful unto all my, because we have testimonies. And a lot of us, we've been through the storm and lots of rain, but what we can truly say is we made it. We've had heartache and pain, but we've made it. We come out. Our ladder is greater than the first. My ending is better than my start. My older years are better than my younger years. I'm so happy. I wasn't always happy like this. I wasn't always at peace with myself or the world or nobody else. But God brought me into a precious place. And I don't have it to worry about. The songwriter taught me this. I've learned how to lean and depend on Jesus. I knew it. He's my friend, and he's my God. Hallelujah. I've learned how to lean and depend on Jesus. Dr. Goodman, I found out if I trust him, he will provide. I've learned how to lean, Jerry Crouch, and depend on Jesus. He's my friend, and he's my God. Hallelujah. I've learned how to lean and depend on Jesus. I found out if I trust him, he will provide. How did you find that out, Barbara? I asked him for myself. I saw it in his word. I saw it in his word. I have not because I ask not. I saw it in his word. If I ask, it'll be given. If I seek, I'll find. If I knock, the door will come open to me. But who got to ask? I do, because I'm the one wanted. Who got to seek for it? I do, because I'm the one wanted. Who got to knock on the door? I do, because I'm the one wanted. Who got to have the faith and the patience and the trust in God for it? I do, because I'm the one wanted. Look, that's good news right there. I know. We want things a little bit more complicated. So, Bobby, you telling me I just believe and wait on God and trust him? Just understand that it's coming? That's what trust, you telling me to just know that it's coming. It may not come right away, but just keep waiting on it. Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. He made it easy for us. Very easy. He took the 10 and turned them into 2, basically. And maybe 3. He took them 10 commandments and turned them into 3. If you obey that, you've obeyed all 10. And guess what? If you work unto the Lord, let him be the God of your life, the Lord of your life, you're going to see a difference in your life. If you want different results, you got to do something different. You can't do what you've been doing and think you're going to get some different results. Let me tell you something. I look at Irene. Irene started doing something different. Now she's got a different result. She may have looked for a friend. She may have hoped for one. And she have people around her all the time. But maybe she wanted a godly friend that would never turn their back on God. Therefore, they won't turn their back on her. She's not asking them for anything. She don't want no money from them. She's not asking them for big, expensive gifts. She just wanted somebody that God sent that she can trust. So what Irene do? Irene said, well, this lady, I don't even know her. But she's talking about Jesus and God. I'm going to go over there. I love Jesus. I love God. So I like talking about him. I love talking about him. I'm going to go over there and see what happens. When Irene got over here, Irene did something different. Now she got different results. Barbara is her friend. Irene is Barbara's friend. Not because we're giving to each other and we need to put our elaborate things to each other and we talk about foolishness. No, we always come back to talking about God. We always praise him. She tell me the truth. I tell her the truth. She tell me how she feeling today, good or bad. I can pray for her. I tell her things, she pray for me. I've included two or three people in the prayer. Pray for these people. She pray for them. If we want different results, we got to do something different. We can't do the same thing expecting different results. I wanted to know that I had money coming. After I spend a little retirement money every month, you know, I need a few extra dollars because I got a few extra people I need to, you know, I planted seeds. You know, I had planted before, but I learned how to plant different now. I learned how to plant where to bring a harvest and it won't take long. I learned a lot of purpose behind the seed plant. I began to learn about money and what God said about money and all of this. Now, there are different results. I'm not rich. Nowhere near it. I still have problems, you know, paying bills and things, but God provides. He does provide. But it's him. It's not me. I had to do something. He woke me at 4 o'clock one morning to find out to do something different to get different results. He sent Mike Murdoch to talk to me about some things, and I began to look at Jesus in the morning and Freedom Doors. Y'all going to get to see in a little while. It's going to do something different that will bless the Jesus in the Morning, Faithful Few, and Freedom Doors Ministry. Yes, ma'am. And yes, sir. I'm shaking about it right now. Because if you love God, take care of the things of God. Take care of the things where God people come. Don't be caught slacking on it. He said, consider the ant, old sluggard, old slacker. The ant work in the summer to prepare for the winter and work in the winter to prepare for the summer. And they take care of the queen and, you know, they respect authority. So that's what you got to do too, Bob. You got to prepare. The main thing I'm preparing for is the return of the Lord. Because he's coming back looking for his church. And I believe we are his church. And when he says spot or wrinkle, he's looking for those that have love in their heart. He's looking for those who can love those who appear to be unlovable. He can love the people that don't dress like you. They're not clean like you. They don't smell as fresh as you smell. He's looking for the people that's praying for others that see some children and they need some help and I don't have it. But God, I know you're able. Move for the mama and her children. Strangers, you don't know these people, but you have love, the love of God in your heart. You're friendly everywhere you go. Yeah. And it's all right today in Jesus' name. We're moving right along. I'm going to one more song of the morning. And when we come back, the studio is open. Anyone have anything they would like to say, please feel free to press that number one and come in. Hallelujah. We're going to this one this morning.
I'm glad I don't look like what I've been through. All right? Look at somebody and say, I'm glad I don't look like what I've been through. No, you said it to the wrong person. Grab the person behind you and tell them, say, hey, you. I'm glad I don't look like what I've been through. Come on, Uncle Richard, please.
We'll be right back.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bishop Richard White this morning. And I don't look like what I've been through. Mr. Cleve himself today. I don't look like, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, what I've been through. Been through the storm and lots of rain, but you'll never know. God preserves his people. When he make you over, he make you better. You had a weak, puny structure before. He give you a solid, strong structure this time around because you got to come through some things. You got to battle with some things. You got to come up against some things. So he give you what you need to have strength. Your trials come to make you stronger. See, what I couldn't go through in 1993, in 2022, I can go through it. I can stand, and after stand, I can stand some more because I'm standing on his word. The sure foundation is solid. It won't give in. I just have to keep the faith in his word, believe his word, have patience even with his word, and trust it. He coming through every time, over and over and over again. He love all of us. I know they got it twisted. I know some folk don't like folks because of their color. Oh, I don't like them. They white. Oh, I don't like them because they black. Oh, I don't like them because they Asian. Have, but you're going to church all the time. What's wrong? My dad sang a song that said, "Oh, Zion, what's the matter now?" Every time I turn around, I solve one problem for you. Here you come with something else. Yeah. We just all whacked out, you know. I treat people the way I want to be treated. But if I don't trust you, if I find out you got some evil in you, and you done acted evil, I got to keep, you know, you at a distance. Because like we saw, that evil spirit might come up in you in a minute. I got to watch as well as pray. But it don't stop me from loving you. I just don't deal with you. How about that? That's all right today. It's already all right right now. Look, the studio is open. If anyone has something they would like to say this morning, feel free to press that number one and come in. And don't think, well, I say something all the time. Because you see nobody else say nothing. So feel free, if it's every morning you want to press that number one and come in, press it and come in and say something in Jesus' name. And it's already all right today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. All right, I got something for you right quick. And then... when we come back, we'll just have to see.
More than just the radio. This is Jesus in the Morning Radio, spreading the good news of Jesus.
You've heard the words since you were in Sunday school. You have heard these professors remind you of them, both in words of warning as well as words of encouragement, and maybe even a few testimonies. A counselor, a friend, a minister of music, whatever capacity you'll serve in, on mission field or here at home, you'll use these two words. And they are, trust God. Two single syllable words that you have heard forever, but you will discover as time passes how difficult they are to obey. Trust God. Of course, I have no way of knowing what the future holds for you. You may lose your home and everything in a fire. You may lose your spouse to an early disease, detected but not cured. You may lose your dreams, your hopes. You may lose a relationship that you have cultivated over the years. All losses are painful. and you will be brought back over and over again to the words of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I know, you memorized them in Vacation Bible School or when you were growing up at the knee of a godly mother and or father, and your lips will move as I quote them. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. All your heart, all your ways. Trust. Trust. Now we have a problem with this because of several things. First of all, we are too blame self-sufficient. We have learned how to get ourselves out of jams rather than acknowledging the jam has very well been either directed or permitted by our sovereign God to teach us. And by not trusting him, we short-circuit the test and go our own way, getting ourselves out of our own mess. We're too self-sufficient. Another reason we fail this test is because we're too quick to call on others. We have a lot of very capable friends. As life unfolds and you leave this school and you're involved in your church, your work of ministry, your realm of responsibility, you'll meet other people. Many of them much smarter than you are. Most of them richer than you are. Better connected than you are. And some of them will become good friends. And they will become your crutch. They have connections. And when you're up against it, they'll get you through it. Another reason we don't trust is because we feel distant from the God of heaven. Don't feel too guilty about that. So did Job, as godly as he was. And yet Job said, in the midst of all of the loss, though he slay me, I will trust in him. Though he take me off this earth, in the process, I leave trusting him. I will trust him. The fourth reason I would name is that we have cultivated the bad habit of worry. Many of you are much better at worrying than you are at trusting. If you were to put together a worry list, it would outrun your prayer list. And you're worried right now about something. Most likely, it's related to something about your schoolwork. Some course, some class, some test, or maybe your finances. You don't have enough money. I'll give you a word of encouragement. You'll never have enough money. So you're worried now, you're getting good at it, so you can carry that with you when you graduate because you won't have enough money then. So you're worried about that. And you do not trust God. See how practical it is? And if you think you're going to outgrow the problem, take it from this old guy today, you won't ever outgrow it. It's like lust. You never outgrow lust. You just learn to fake it. I remember attending a Navigator conference when Lawrence Sanney was president. We were at Glen Eyrie and they had a returned missionary, I think 87, 88-year-old gentleman who Lauren brought up to the platform, and he's a longtime navigator. And Lauren said, tell me, Dr. So-and-so, when did you conquer lust? The old man said, well, Warren, hasn't happened yet. You'll never conquer worry. It's part of the flesh. You want to, but the only way you will get through it so that you will learn from the test is to trust. To trust. To put the worry on hold, to set it aside, deliberately shoving it away and saying, God, at this moment, I rest in you and you alone. If you're married, God, help my spouse and me to trust you. To lean on you, to wait on you, to listen to you, to endure the test with you. I put together a quick list of things that reveal how little we trust. When you choose to worry, you do not trust. When you try to fix what is impossible, you do not trust. When you hurry ahead and don't wait for the Lord to move and to change, you do not trust. When you lie awake twisting and turning at night, you do not trust. When you doubt biblical principles and promises that are right here in the book you love and study, you do not trust. When you turn to others first for help, you do not trust. When you listen to human counsel and give a higher priority to that than the principles you have just learned, you do not trust. When you manipulate and maneuver situations, you do not trust. When you step in and take charge without praying and being led by the Spirit of God, you do not trust. When you cling to others in order to feel secure and needed and loved, you do not trust. The list goes on and on. See how easy it is to live in the flesh, how easy it is to disobey. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Wouldn't it be a great project over the Christmas season this year to think through ways that you can begin to trust God regardless? Hopefully it'll be a project that you and a good friend or you and your mate can enter together. What is it we do that keep us from trusting God? And how can we break that habit and watch God break through in ways that we would never have expected? Cynthia and I have a longtime friend who was raised with four brothers in Southwest Texas. They were raised on a very poor ranch. They eked out a living. One of the brothers wound up getting into Baylor, going on to UCLA Law School, and earning his degree in law, and has since become a very fine attorney in the Southern California area. We've been friends since the mid-1970s. One of his four brothers stayed at the ranch and developed it, cultivated it. The other brothers moved away, as did our friend. And the one who stayed, along with his wife, really turned the ranch into something much more successful. Grew crops that worked, got cattle, bred them, sold them, little by little kind of got on their feet, and finally became pretty much financially stable. Then the fires of 2011 across Texas swept through their area, and they came to that ranch. By now they knew they would lose all the cattle. They simply opened the gate, and amazingly, those animals know where to go. usually know where to go to find shelter and safety. And they fled, hundreds of them. And they barely left, unable to get anything, much of anything in their pickup, and they drove away. Came back a number of days later when allowed to enter this territory, and everything was melted. Everything. Even the metal roof on the shed, on the barn, had melted down and sort of peeled its way over, and what it landed on, it kind of was that metal profile. As everything is lost, all possessions, all pictures, thankfully no lives. Strangely, the cattle got back and were clustered around in a herd around an enormous oak tree, and they were able to get them back. Of course, the fence had burned, so that has to be rebuilt. And they said to one another, we realize at that moment our faith would either kick into action or we would move far away from the God we had loved and served. They chose the former. They determined they would rebuild. They're in the process right now. Living with a brother, putting house and home back together, having lost it all. The Lord taught me through my shameful response. He'll win this battle. Trust him. Trust me. Trust God. Just to rest upon his promises. Just to know. Thus saith the Lord. Trust God.
You've been out there on your own. You've been trying to fix things. You've been trying to make yourself happy. You've been trying to get this, and you've been trying to come up, and you've been trying to come over. Just go back to God and give it all to God and walk away. Let go. Yeah, let go. Because if you make your way, it won't last for so long. But if God make a way, it'll last throughout eternity. Oh, yes, it will. Hallelujah. I'm grateful unto him. Well, I'm coming at you, Sister Jerry. I want to say happy birthday to Prophetess Coretta Montgomery this morning. My good friend, I love you, Coretta. And I am coming to see you. I am eventually coming to see you. Happy birthday. I pray that the Lord bless your special day and that you get more than you were ever expecting. And I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you every day of your life in Jesus' name. And so I thank God for you. And again, happy birthday. Happy birthday. Hallelujah. Ooh, God is faithful. God is faithful. All right, Sister Jerry, I'm coming at you right now. Good morning. God bless you.
Good morning, Sister Barbara. How are you?
I am blessed.
I am well myself. I'm sitting here thinking, you know, how you do trust God. I know I trust God because for a long time I used to say, my husband do this, my husband that, my children this. God's got a sweet way of showing you. It was always him.
Mm-hmm.
Children may leave, husband may die. But God will stand by you through thick and thin. Things may be rough, but that's only a trial for a testimony. I tell you, I got so many. These 3 years, I have learned so much. And I thank God. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, that my life is not what it looked like. I've been trying to work on something for Calvin since 2019. Yesterday I had so many calls, I was like, I couldn't keep up with them. I'm still working on things. I'm like, Lord, when you go to moving, we got to be prepared. You told me to get prepared. But see, we must listen to God. Don't try to manipulate God. He's not going to do anything before he know you're ready for him to do it. Trust God. Oh, trust the Lord thy God. And one thing I do know, God gives us an opportunity to accept him. He won't force it on you, but he gives you an opportunity, Jerry. No sense in looking back over your life, wondering what that could have been like. You already know what that was like. Why go back? If you were supposed to have it, God would have gave it to you because he mapped out your life from the time you were born. Let's not be like Lot. Don't look back. Let's keep looking forward. I don't back up very well myself. So when I'm driving the car and backing up, I believe that's why they put cameras back there, so you won't even have to look back no more. Just look at the camera and look forward. Don't look back. There's nothing for you in the past. And I just want to thank you for the soul manipulations. Thank you. Thank you for your time and breaking the stories down and helping us to put it in our lives too. Intervene it in our lives. Can't use trickery on God. So thank you, Sister Barbara. Thank
Amen.
You so much.
God bless you, mm-hmm. Sister Cherry. God bless you. We thank God this morning because it's Him. He's on our side and He wants us to be great, as they say in the day. God wants us to be great. He wants us to have all we need. And He wants us to have what we want. If we look at Psalms 23, it simply says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want, because He's my shepherd. Yeah. The earth is His, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. He's Almighty God, Jehovah, that have all power. There's no higher power. All power, think on this, all power is on our side. And then He said, you can do all things. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. What's holding you back today? What's stopping you from anything you want, from being happy, from being married? What's stopping you from having a good time in this life? What got you bound? Who's bewitched you? You got to let yourself go and let God have His way in your life. It's going to be different. You never really let go before so that God can have His way. Do something different so you can get different results. Let go and watch God move in a mighty way. Brother Lewis, say, hey, Sister Jerry.
Good morning, Brother Lewis.
Hey, Lord. All right, is there anyone else this morning? Good morning to you, Pastor David. I think that's Pastor David I'm seeing down here. Sister Sion, Sister Rita this morning. Good morning. God bless you. God bless you. And good morning to you, Sister Dorothy Goodman. And good morning to you, Sister Samoa, Brother Anthony this morning. Yeah, my God, baby Laura. Good morning to you, Irene. And good morning again to you, Sister Jerry. That's who I see in the studio. And a lot of times, a lot of people come through the archive. After the show has been done, they may have come through. But we thank God this morning. We give Him glory. We give Him the honor. We give Him the praise. He's on our side today in spite of us, looking beyond us. Yeah. And yet coming in on time because He's an on-time God. I want to say this day over on www.JesusInTheMorningRadio.com. I'm putting up a store. And I'm working on it. It's under construction. But if you go to the website, go all the way to the left, and you're going to see store. I'm going to change all of this around and make it where it pop right there. Time you come in there, good. Go and take a look at those little things I have on there. There's a grab box and a grab bag I'm making. And you can end up with what the Apple Watch is called. E-watch, I don't know what they call it, iWatch. You could end up with something like an iWatch. You can end up with a stereo, many different things that I put in the box. And I say you pay $30 for the box, or you could, you know, pay more for a box. So, well, I want a $50 box. I don't want no $30 box, because if I get a $30 box, I'm going to get something may total up to close to $100. But if I get that $50 box, I know I'm going to get more. I'm going to get a gift valued more. So, and you never know what's going to be in your grab box or your grab bag. You never know what's in there. But things that are on in the store that can be in your grab bag or your grab box. I got some shoes. I think they banging. That I'm going to put up in different colors, men's shoes, women's shoes. And if you like sneakers, you know, it's the latest fabric, cool, comfortable. You know, your feet won't sweat as bad because, you know, it's air breathing in there, you know. And so I got these things. I'm going to put some electronics on there. iPad, desk. You know, you can sit up in the bed and be comfortable on your iPad. You can sit on your couch and be comfortable on your iPad because it's propped up in air. It's getting to the back of it, the iPad or the tablet. Because if you don't, it gets hot and it might damage your tablet. So I'm going to have that on there. And some of these things are used, and most of them brand new, though. You know, most of, and whatever you buy from the store, all of that is new. But what you get in your gift box or your gift bag, some of those things may be used, but they're still in good shape. So I have an office desk lamp. It's the cutest little office desk lamp to me. I have two wireless mouse sets. You know, it comes with the wireless mouse, the wireless keyboard, a smaller one, and the SUB connection to it. You know, you don't see no wires or nothing. It's real. I love those kinds. I love them. So I'm going to have that in. Christmas coming, Thanksgiving coming. I'm putting more and more stuff on there. I got to, y'all help me out. See, what the thing is, you put your camera in and it hold your camera and you take pictures. You know I'll forget something right now, looking at so much. But I have that going on. I have the headset, and I love that golden black headset. Oh, it's easy to connect, and you hear so clear. And people tell me, hey, is that the TV up that loud? I'm like, the TV is not up loud. Oh, yes, it is. I hear it. It sounds like I'm talking to 30 people. So I have to get up and turn the TV off. That's how clear it is. It picks up the least little sound, and we try to, I put it to noise, you know, so no noise, so you don't hear the background noise. Yeah. But it works wonders. I'm trying to think of what it is. I have several things. iPhone covers. I have earplugs, you know, the little earplugs for children, all kinds of things. And children love those earplugs. And so I'll be posting more and more stuff on that. I even have a peel box. It's a plastic peel box, but it is a set, and it's wonderful. You love these colors. I have stuff for travel, because, you know, a lot of people, when they travel, especially if they're older, they have to go to the restroom more often. And sometimes they say, well, I don't want to be stopping to go to the bathroom. Well, these particular items are supposed to keep you from having to deal with the toilet seat when you go to the bathroom when you're traveling. So I'm going to put that on, and quite a few things, you know, I'll be putting daily on the website. But I put it out there because I want everybody to see what it's going to eventually be. But at the same time, I got to work with Yola to get my pictures on there, because I had trouble posting more pictures yesterday. So I'm working with Yola for that, because I love Yola. They've been really good to me, Val over there. She treat me like she know me personally. And I remember one year she said, oh, I see what you're doing. You help people. She said, I'm going to give you a 3 months free. Yeah, real good to me, Val, over at Yola. Blog Talk Radio used to be like that. I don't know what happened. But they was the bomb.com in my book, because they took good care of me. I used to see them in the chat room sometimes and that kind of thing. But I guess they done got hyperlude, because, you know, when you go up sometimes, you're busy and you're this and you're that, and you lose balance or lose sight or something. But anyway, I thank God for Blog Talk, and I'm going to continue as long as I can. Yeah. And it's all right in Jesus' name. All right, Brother Frank, good morning. I see you down there. You're not going to sneak in, brother. You're not sneaking in. I just got some lima beans yesterday. I got sweet potatoes coming today. So you're not going to sneak in, brother. I get to see you every time. I get to see you. Good morning, Brother Frank. God bless you. How are you?
I'm blessed. Good morning to you as well. I thought I could sneak here. I sure thought I could just sneak in and listen in. I said, wow, she ain't gonna see me till this morning, but I could sneak in. You got me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, and yes. God bless all of you.
Amen. 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 Yeah, I got you working, and I'm gonna add a little something extra in there, and I know this will make you happy too, for graduation, and see.
Amen. Thank you.
You know, Sion jumps on the bandwagon. You already done did it, Sister Bobby. You already, no, I ain't doing it, Sion. Oh, okay. Because, you know, when I said something, she like to be in on the sin. Well, look here.
Amen.
A bag, a buying one bag, or whatever she can do, you know. And so
amen.
I'm grateful unto the Lord for this. And I know some people knew and they don't know Brother Frank. But Brother Frank goes way, way back with Jesus in the Morning and Jesus in the Morning confectionery store. There were many days I would call Brother Frank. I said, Brother Frank, if I had $500, I could get better stock and stock up a little bit. He said, all right, well, ain't nothing for us to do but do it. One year, I never asked. One year when I first met him, he used to love hearing about them children in the project. Oh, that would make his day. And I would tell him about my little friend. She was 4 years old with the two big coat and the two big shoes. And Brother Frank Hart just went out to them children. So he told me what to do. So, Barbara, I'm going to get with you, but you're going to have to help me. And I'm going to tell you what to do. And you do what I say. I said, okay. And he said, I'm going to call you later. That was that morning. Late that evening, Brother Frank called me. He didn't say you're busy or nothing. He said, you ready to go? I'm ready, brother. Well, go do this. And I was so shocked. And go do that. And go do this. And do this right here. And I did it. And when I ended up, listen to this. Adults and children in government housing was blessed. The office staff got in on the blessing. As my daughter said, they got in on the good Godfather deal. Listen, I was able to go to the farmer's market and get fruit and nuts and bring it. I'm talking about bushels and things, bags and things. I was able to go to Star Meat. I went over there and I talked to the man and he said, for every chicken you buy, I'll give you one. I went crazy. So the women was walking away with their bags of groceries and their fruit, you know, and nuts for the children. And then one time we was giving away breakfast bags, but Frank came in and blessed me. We was over giving out bags and bags of breakfast stuff coming up to Thanksgiving. Yeah, so I know many of you don't hear him very often. He's busy right now. He was in school and he's trying to finish up some stuff. And before that, he had some other things because he was going to the doctor. But you'll get to hear this is Apostle Frank People. I call him Brother Frank because he's my brother. But this is Apostle Frank Peoples. And one day you're going to get to hear him stretch out and you'll be like, oh, that's why Sister Barbara and the Brother Frank. Yeah, he got the word in him now. And I like him because he's down to earth. He's not all that proper and prim. He just bring it to you the way that he bring it to you. He's an Alabama boy from down in that area. And I just love it. I just love it. And many of the ladies back in the day, who is that? I said, that's Brother Frank. Oh, his boy. I used to be so took. I said, because Frank don't fool around. He don't play no games. Y'all can get somewhere and sit down with her. He don't play no kind of games with you. So over the years, it's been 12 years, I'm sure. I know at least 10. So over the years, you know, but Frank and I kept in touch, and God blessed me by sending him my way. And I can never forget. And I like to get him flowers when you're living. Yeah. Because when you're gone, you can't see him, can't smell him, or nothing like that. So I like to encourage him. Y'all keep him and his sister lifted in prayer. Yeah. And it's already all right today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm going to tell you something else. I have a younger brother. And I call him Mr. Pittman, and he called me Miss Pittman. And sometimes me and Mr. Pittman, we fall out. We don't agree. And when he don't like something, I say, he say, yeah. That's all he'll say, yeah, okay, yeah. I know right then he get hot. He get hot out of his collar. He don't agree. He don't like it. So he just go away. Now, he might think about me 2 weeks later or a month later because he done said, I ain't coming back. I don't like what you say. I don't like it. But 3 months later, whenever he's feeling like, hey, how you doing, Miss Pittman? Teach and talk of all that. But God loves us all, and he wants us to continue to love each other. Yeah. A lot of things I see on TV, I don't agree with it, but ain't nothing I can do about it. I keep it moving. God is faithful to us. Hallelujah. Is there anyone else? Anyone else this morning? Hallelujah. I think I see Brother Anthony over there. All right. I ain't saying that so you can say something, Brother Anthony. I know you're working today. And you done tickled me real good the other day, so I'm good. I am good. All right. Wait a minute. It was one I wanted to close out with this morning. All right. We're going to close out with this one. I thought this was a great song to open up in the morning, but y'all can tell me what you think.
Me no
Hallelujah, Mr. Fred Hammond this morning. And the name of that one is We Welcome You. And Sion sent it to me on yesterday. And I told her, I said, oh, I think that's a cute little number to open the show up with in the morning. She said, yeah, I was thinking that too. So we may use Fred Hammond's We Welcome You in the morning. So when you hear that, you know, you at the right spot. You with Jesus in the morning. Because I usually, you know, use different songs to bring us. Louis said, great song, but sound is bad. Okay, I need to clear your end up. That's what it is. Yeah. All right, so we thank God this morning for all he has done for us, what he's doing, what he's going to do, and what he's doing right now. Hallelujah. Listen, don't forget, go to www.JesusInTheMorningRadio.com and look for the website. Yeah, look for the website. You'll see my picture on there somewhere. You'll see the title of the shows. If you don't see that, you know you're on the wrong one. Because when I came out after that, a lot of people brought Jesus in the morning this, Jesus in the morning that. But it wasn't me. But look for the website. You're going to the Jesus in the Morning Radio website. And when you get there, you're going to see the topic of the day. You'll see the shows, you know, and you can click on them and listen right there on the website. And check out that store. Check out the store. I'll be placing it over on Facebook, the link. On my Facebook page on Jesus in the Morning and Freedom Doors Ministries so that you can go right in there. You may find it over on Big Beautiful Christian Women, the Big Beautiful Christian Women group, the group U, Y-O-U in capital letters. You know, the big Y, the big O, the big U. I'm over that group too. So go over there and check it out. Again, that's, and Children That Lost a Parent. Parents that lost a child or children. I know that's redundant, but that's what I picked up to do. So parents that lost a child or children, I'm over that too, over at Facebook. And then I'm on Facebook as Barbara Jean Pittman. You can find me there, and you should be able to find all of that. If you find somebody that you heard me mention on Jesus in the Morning, say, well, look, how do I get to the store? How do I get to Jesus in the Morning radio store, and they may tell you, well, here, do this right here. She sent me the link. I'm sending you a copy of the link. Y'all help us spread it out there. Yeah, yeah. Because we're going to use this as money to bless people. Yeah, this will help with a lot of things. And then we don't have to say, well, hey, can you send us $100? We need 10 people to send $100. We need 20 people to send 50. We can just, you know, buy from the store, support the store, you know, daily, weekly, monthly, however you do it. If you support the store, then we got what we need. Yeah. Because we always got people that's in dire straits. Yeah. So we thank God for all he has done. I'm excited about tomorrow, Thursday. We got a special guest coming. I just want to surprise you. I don't want to tell you who they are. And a beautiful testimony, beautiful testimony. And we're going to allow God to bless us tomorrow. We're going to have some church and just have a good time. I love praising God. Yeah. I don't see nothing. They said they didn't see nothing wrong with a little bumping and grinding. I don't see nothing wrong with praising and worshiping God. Yeah, I can't find no fault in that nowhere. Hallelujah. And so I'm thankful unto him. I know somebody screamed when I said that. Now, I know that was too funny to them. Hallelujah. But it's all right today in Jesus' name. So we're going to pray and then go to our last song of the morning. Brother Frank, you didn't have nothing else you wanted to say, did you? Okay. I think he's working. All right. So let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel. Thank you for all we are learning. And Lord, we are learning no matter what the enemy bring, no matter what come, trials or tests, God. We learning that you are Almighty God who have all the power and you have a great purpose and plan for our lives. And no matter what, we're coming into our greatness. And we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that you open doors and give us things to do that will keep us occupied, that would keep us from slipping off into some place that we don't want to be because we don't have nothing to do. Father, we're grateful unto you. We appreciate you this morning. And we love you because it was you who first loved us. As we depart this morning, Father, we ask in that you would bless Brother Frank and bless his sister, God, bless his household, bless his family. You know what they all standing in need of. And Lord, I ask that you would bring up for Brother Frank every penny, every dime, God, that he has shared with every ministry to be a help unto them. Lord, bring it up as a memorial and allow that seed to replant and grow like never before unto him. Oh, we ask it this morning in Jesus' name. And Father, we bring Sister Jerry before you. Ask that you would bless her, Lord. Let her get done all that she desired to get done for Mr. Calvin. And Lord, I ask, God, that you would add extra blessing unto Jerry. Strength, oh God. Finances, Lord, as Calvin is transitioning. Lord, I ask that you would move in a mighty way because she's going to miss him. But God, you got her. And we trust you this morning. So, Father, I thank you for her and Brother Frank calling in. And I thank you, Lord. I give you glory for Irene. I thank you for Brother Louis. Hallelujah. Ask that you would bless him and bless Sherry, God. Lord, make it easy for him over there. Open doors for him in the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you today. Bless Prophetess Coretta Montgomery for her birthday today, Lord. Her birthday. Her special day that you brought her forth, a special vessel. God, do it for her. Let her be happy. Let her get more than she expected in celebration of her special day. In the name of Jesus, as we depart, bless us all, Lord. Bless our going out and our coming in. Today, oh God, May the 25th, 2022, Lord, we ask that you would bless us. Pour out upon us today, oh God. Those of us that are standing in need of finances, those who need food, clothes, shelter, whatever they need today, medication, whatever it may be, pour out today by your spirit, oh God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for my blessing this morning. I thank you, Lord. You bless me right away, and I give you glory. I give you the honor and praise. And Father, I ask all of these things in Jesus' name. And anything we left out, anything we forgot, Father, we ask that you would take it for us today, for you see and you know. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another. In the name of Jesus, go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. So we ask God to bless our going and our coming today. We're asking him to move quickly for us today in the name of Jesus. So I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today. Again, May the 25th, 2022, in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye and have a great day, a great day. And I'm going to say later, Tater, to you over there, Brother Lou and Sherry. Y'all have a wonderful, blessed day. In Jesus' name. All right, I'm going back to this. Request. I'm going back to it.
One day I wasn't walking. One day I wasn't living.